Welcome to That's History, our regular feature where we look at current events and find echoes, parallels, and lessons from the past. I'm Chris Cetullo, joined as always by Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good to be here as always.
Okay, Jonathan, our topic for this time is order in the court. And feeling that one esteemed United States senator from Texas feels there's a lack of order in our Supreme Court at the moment.
That would be Senator Ted Cruz, himself a candidate for the Republican nomination for presidency. And after the Obamacare and the same-sex marriage rulings came down from the Supreme Court, Cruz proposed that there be elections, retention elections at certain periods, in which the voters could decide if they wanted the Supreme Court justices to remain on the Supreme Court.
Right. And, of course, that triggered an immediate reaction.
Yeah. Disdain on the part of Democrats and, I would say, measured silence on the part of Republicans, who probably realized that it was a non-starter but didn't want to make too much noise about it.
Okay. So, yeah, there was a lot of criticism of the idea as unheard of and ridiculous from Democratic quarters. But as an historian looking back at the history of complaints about the Supreme Court, you see the field littered with irony here.
Absolutely. And it's been a bipartisan theme throughout our history. Presidents on every side and parties on every side have tried to alter the structure and the composition of the court when they don't like what it's doing. Let's keep in mind that Article 3 of the Constitution is actually the most ambiguous and the least clear or explicit part of the Constitution. That's the part about the judiciary. And it really just says there are going to be courts. It doesn't actually say how many people will be on the Supreme Court. So between the 1780s and the Civil War, the size of the court fluctuated between 6 and 10 people.
So, Jonathan, I want you to think for a moment about Mount Rushmore. And we're going to discard for the moment George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, but we're going to focus on Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt, two of our, you know, universally acclaimed greatest presidents. Each of them had some problems with the Supreme Court in their time.
Absolutely. I mean, when Lincoln was elected, let's remember that the Chief Justice who swore him in as president was Roger Taney, the author of the Dred Scott decision, which upheld slavery. And in his inaugural address, Lincoln made a direct broadside at the Supreme Court. And I'm just going to read it because I think it's an astonishing statement because it sounds so much like Ted Cruz. Lincoln says at his inauguration, "If the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court the instant they are made, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent practically resigned their government into the hands of that eminent tribunal."
My goodness, he almost sounds like he's a talk show host in the year 2015. That would be Abraham Lincoln.
Absolutely. Yeah. And members of Lincoln's party talked about just replacing the whole Taney Court. They said, look, Article 3 says there'll be one Supreme Court, but doesn't say it has to be this Supreme Court. So let's just choose another nine.
Right.
Well, that didn't happen. But after Lincoln is murdered and Andrew Johnson takes over, obviously he's in a massive conflict with the so-called radical Republicans. And at that point, they actually shrank the size of the court to 7. Because they didn't want Johnson to be able to appoint any new justices that came up with vacancies.
Okay, so now let's go to Teddy Roosevelt. What were his problems with the court?
Well, what happened was Roosevelt, of course, steps down in 1908 and goes safari hunting in Africa, which is another subject that's been in the news recently. And after he comes back, he decides he wants to be president again, but there's already a Republican president who's running again named Taft. So Roosevelt runs on the Progressive Party ticket. And during this time, the Supreme Court starts to strike down some of the trust-busting and other economic regulations that Roosevelt had proudly signed during his time as president. So while he's running for president again in 1912, he says, listen, these decisions the Supreme Court are making, they should be subject to popular vote. And we should have a referenda on them. And if the people don't like them, they should be struck down.
Okay, now let's fast forward to Teddy Roosevelt's distant cousin, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who famously tried to pack the Supreme Court.
Indeed. I mean, FDR has a more serious problem. While he's in office, the court strikes down a huge number of his New Deal legislation. We think maybe 18 different laws or so in a two-year period. And Roosevelt is frustrated and frightened by this. So he proposes, since a lot of these Supreme Court justices are old, that after you get to be 70, if you don't resign, he can appoint somebody else up until 6 new justices.
Mm-hmm.
This creates an enormous amount of political blowback for Roosevelt, including in his own party. But ironically, after the court packing proposal, the Supreme Court starts to actually uphold some of his legislation.
Right. I mean, the general sense is he accomplished his mission without having to do that constitutionally dubious thing.
Indeed. Lost the battle but won the war. And a Harvard law professor said the switch in time that saved nine.
Right.
Because two of the Republicans on the court started to change their spots. That would be Charles Evans Hughes, who would actually run for president once against Woodrow Wilson, and also Owen J. Roberts of Germantown Academy and the University of Pennsylvania. They had been striking down the New Deal legislation, and after this court packing proposal, they upheld, among other things, a minimum wage law. And after that, a few other justices resigned, and Roosevelt got to appoint new ones without packing the court with a larger number.
So we're talking with Jonathan Zimmerman of New York University about the history of political complaints about the Supreme Court and attempts to pack or change the rules for the court because you don't happen to like what the sitting court has done. Fast forwarding to the present, we're sort of looking at a similarly ironic situation where right now Ted Cruz, upset about those decisions, is talking about a change where we'd essentially have retention elections for Supreme Court judges. And it's being decried as a terrible idea, but the fact of the matter is we sit in a state, Pennsylvania, where appellate court judges are subject to retention elections. It's not an unheard of thing.
Exactly. I mean, we have all kinds of different courts in this country, and they all operate in different ways. And most of all, they change their operations over time. And I think that's Cruz's point, and I think he's correct about that. I don't endorse the idea he's put forward. But when Cruz points out that we do have a tradition of electing judges and even of retention elections, he's right. And when he points out that prior presidents and presidential candidates have proposed different ways of composing the court, including retention elections, he's right about that as well.
You know, in looking to more recent history in Pennsylvania, there actually was a retention election for Supreme Court justice not long ago where the justice actually was tossed out by the voters. This was a result of what's known as the pay raise revolt and the sense that the Supreme Court had gone along for essentially personal self-interested reasons with the legislature voting itself pay raises, you know, basically at the midnight hour in Harrisburg. It was really the last uprising of, you know, sort of voter disgust, effective voter disgust that we've seen in Pennsylvania. And, you know, when you look at the recent record of the high court, the appellate courts in Pennsylvania with the number of problems we've had with elected justices, it's hard to argue that a retention election is a terrible idea.
No, I would agree with that, actually. I think it's unlikely to happen at the federal level for a number of reasons. But it's interesting to think that one change that we've seen in the past, say, 40, 50 years is that fewer of the judges on the court are themselves politicians, people who have been subject in prior lives to elections. That was very much of a tradition before really the 1960s. You think about something like Earl Warren, of course, who had been the governor of California and a vice presidential candidate, and many, many other examples, including Hugo Black. Now it's quite uncommon. And I think in some ways that's part of Cruz's point. You know, the Supreme Court is ever more insulated from the popular will because it's composed of people who have never actually had to subject themselves to it in any capacity.
Well, that's Jonathan Zimmerman. I'm Chris Satullo. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was fun.
And this was That's History.